Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays on Macroaggressions. We're headed back to June 10th, 2020, episode number 29, Human Race Riots. If you are interested in converting some of your depreciating fiat currency into tangible physical silver and gold, go to our website, www.macroaggressions.gold. Talk to Tony Arterburn over at Wise Wolf, and he will hook you up. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How the hell are you? Certainly do appreciate you checking out the show. If you like it, share it with people. That's the only way that the show is going to gain any traction, because we can't leave it up to the algorithms to do that. And you can rate it if you're listening on Apple, and a little thing will pop up and give you the opportunity to rate the show. That actually helps too. So I'd appreciate it if you do that. Is everybody clear on what we are and are not allowed to do in this country right now? Because it seems like everything is totally backwards. How are your riots going? Are they working out well for you? I hope so. Protesting against racism is totally fine. The virus will not get you. But if you protest against the lockdown, then the virus is going to kill you every single time. Yeah. So just make sure everybody's clear on that, because I know there's a lot of disinformation out there. The virus will only attack you if you are protesting against the lockdown. If you are protesting in favor of George Floyd, then the virus knows that it can't get you because it's magic and you're safe and protected. And this is the logic of the mainstream media. This is the logic of the maniacs that are going on your nightly news and telling you what you can and can't do. You have Jennifer Nuzzo, Johns Hopkins Center for Health. She said, "We should always evaluate the risks and benefits of efforts to control the virus. In this moment, the public risk of not protesting to demand an end to systemic racism greatly exceeds the harm of the virus." So there you go. Look, if you weren't figuring out that the lockdowns are all bullshit by now, then maybe some of this hypocrisy will alert you to what's really going on. When the lady from Johns Hopkins says we need to take care and protect ourselves against the virus, but, you know, the racism thing's a little bit more a priority, so it's fine if you go out and do that. That's really, you know, what we should be focusing on. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. I think we know that now. I think we figured this out. You know, those doctors. Remember the doctors? God, remember a million years ago, the doctors that were making videos saying we don't have any supplies. We don't have rubber gloves. We don't have, you know, the doctors that are supposed to have all those things. They don't have any of that. But guess who has everything they've ever wanted and dreamed of? The police. They've got enough rubber bullets to last them, geez, I don't know, at least until Trump gets reelected, I would think. That's going to trigger some people. But man, I'm telling you, he's going to win this thing. He's going to win this thing because Joe Biden is a walking corpse. I'm not saying I'm for Trump. I'm not saying I'm against Trump. I don't give a shit. I don't like any of these people. They're all a bunch of criminal maniacs as far as I'm concerned. But Trump's going to win. And the liberals are going to freak the fuck out. Can you imagine what's going to happen at CNN? There'll be like a group suicide at CNN. Which, frankly, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But it's going to be bad. He's going to find some way to spin this. You know, he has no hesitation to do something like go to the old Roy Cohn method of, you know, just declare victory on everything. His old mentor, this psychopathic lawyer who was like running the Epstein ring before Epstein was around. You know, that guy, Roy Cohn. That was his Trump's lawyer who taught him that you sue everybody, fight back against everybody, and then immediately declare victory, even if you've lost. So something tells me that we'll be hearing a speech from Trump about how he's fixed unemployment, how he's beaten the coronavirus and stopped the looters and all. Even if none of that stuff is true, you're still going to hear it. It's a fascinating case study in psychopathy when you look at Trump, all of these people really, but Trump's a fascinating dude. I tell you, there was one thing that jumped out at me over this past week of rioting, and that is that the brick fairies apparently are all over the place delivering bricks. Just, you know, random pallets of bricks showing up on street corners in Dallas and, you know, Louisville and all these places, anywhere. And somebody, you know, dug into like the billing label on it, you know, to see where it came from. And it came from the Acme Brick Company. And the first thought I had was, holy shit, the fucking Roadrunner's even involved in this stuff now? I mean, you know, it's getting serious when the Roadrunner is dropping bricks on the Coyote in Dallas. It's no joke there. The cops have, you know, cops are doing cop things, acting like fucking maniacs, cracking skulls. And look, I get it. I understand. There are people that are rioting and the cops are, you know, have problems with the rioters. But I don't see the cops beating the shit out of the rioters. I see them beating the shit out of the protesters. I see them beating up people that are just like walking down the street. Like, guys that have gone the wrong, that are like on the sidewalk going somewhere and they've maybe gone down the wrong street and the police are all coming. They're like, oh, like old men. They're like, oh, it looks like I've gone the wrong. And the cops are just like, get the fuck out of here and just take cracking them in the head with batons, punching the media. Frankly, we've all wanted to do that. I can't really fault them too much for that. How about the old white man in Buffalo that was pushed backwards and hit his head? The 75-year-old guy with the blood pouring out of his ears and the cops just walking by. You know, what's interesting about that is that just a day earlier in that same spot in Buffalo, you can find the picture of all the protesters kneeling and the cops kneeling. Isn't that cute? They're all in solidarity. Until the following day, when the police rise up and start knocking old 75-year-old men down backwards. And I don't know, killed the guy. I don't know if he's dead. I don't know if he's brain damaged, but there was blood pouring out of his ears and it's all on video. Philly bike cops cracking skulls. LAPD on Fairfax, you know, swinging at people that are trying to back up and getting stuck in the bushes, and they're just beating the hell out of them. LAPD shooting a wheelchair homeless guy in the face with rubber bullets. Why? Because he was rioting. I mean, what do you expect? Fairfield, California, cops assaulting paraplegic man, pulling him out of the car and beating the shit out of him on video. Turning dogs on people that are handcuffed, laying face down with their hands behind their back and handcuffed, and you're letting dogs chew on their arms on camera. I mean, I'm starting to think they want these videos out there. Maybe not the police, but certainly somebody. Somebody's trying to get us pissed off. And guess what? It's working. People are angry. Videos of Chicago cops out there cracking skulls with batons on people on the sidewalk. People that aren't rioting. They're not doing anything. Drive-by shootings by cops at kids with rubber bullets. Hey, listen, call these non-lethal is a misnomer. They're just less lethal. Getting shot in the face with a rubber bullet will screw you up and can kill you. So don't let them tell you that they're non-lethal. Non-lethal would be not shooting people. And look, I understand that there are people that are rioting. There are people that are attacking the police. There are people that are throwing bricks through windows and all that stuff. I get that. But those aren't the people that they're hitting. Sacramento cops choking out an 18-year-old kid who's trying to say, I can't breathe. You know, the same thing we've heard from a couple young black men that have been, you know, murdered on video. Maybe not young, but still black men. And who's fueling this? The media? Of course they are. You know what the media, how they frame this? George Floyd died in police custody. That's what they always say. Go look for a story on him by the mainstream media and see if they don't frame it exactly that way. Died in police custody. Never killed. Never murdered. Died in police custody. Big difference. Like he slipped on a banana peel while the cops had him handcuffed. Nothing they could do about it. Just a freak accident. No, they fucking murdered the guy on camera while looking at the person filming them murdering the guy. There's a lot to unpack here. There's a whole lot going on. George Floyd knew the cop that killed him? Wait, what? That's an angle that we need to explore. The first time I heard that was from Jason Goodman, Crowdsource the Truth. And I just did his show and we talked about that. If you don't think that there's an angle there that needs to be examined, well, then please do not apply for the job as a detective. Because this is called lead. There's something more to this. But of course, they'll minimize that. They'll minimize who George Floyd was. You already see that. Oh, he was a porn star. Oh, he had a criminal past. He's got, you know, he did some things. He was passing off a counterfeit $20 bill. Big fucking deal. The Federal Reserve passes off counterfeit $20 bills on the regular. Okay. If we're going to, you know, I'm not worried about that. Oh, no, he's going to screw up the money supply. All of our money is worth $20 less now. You know, died in police custody. Just another black man that had the misfortune of, you know, having a heart attack while he died in police custody, just probably from the stress of it all, the uncertainty. Nothing to do with the knee on the guy's neck for 8 minutes, you know, while three of his gang member buddies stood there and watched. And by gang member buddies, I mean the other police officers. Hey, look at me. I'm cool. I wear a costume that says I'm a cop and I get to carry a gun. So people have to listen to what I say. Look, man, I understand. being a police officer is a tough job. It requires a tremendous amount of restraint. You roll up onto dangerous situations that you don't know the context of. You get called to domestic violence calls where people are really hot at each other and, you know, maybe armed. You don't know what's going on in that house. You don't know. I get all that. I watch Live PD. I know what the fuck's going on. You know, they show up at some redneck's house and they're like, well, I seen him with another girl, and she's all, you know, and the guy's all drunk, and some, the woman's half naked and she's got cut. I mean, I get it. You roll up into insane situations, you know, and you're dealing with assholes 8 hours a day who are constantly lying to you. I understand. It's a weird, weird job. But that doesn't give you the right to be a maniac. That doesn't give you the right to use every single weapon that you have on you. You know, we've got a problem with the police, and you don't need the George Floyd situation to tell you that. You just have to be paying attention. We have a problem with the police. We have a problem with how they're trained. Who's training them? As well, the police in the United States get anywhere from, like, the statistic I saw was 13 weeks to 19 weeks of training, something like that. Not a lot. Police in other countries and in Europe get like 2 years of training. So where in, you know, so we have a lack of training for the police, for one. But then who's training them? Well, they're getting trained in Israel. Some of them are being flown there. Some of the trainers of the police are being flown there to learn how to train under the, you know, the former IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. This is the wrong group of people to have you train your police force. The IDF are psychos. That's not my opinion on things. You tell me, how would you define the people in Israel that are wearing the shirt, the IDF soldiers that are wearing shirts that show a cartoon drawing of a pregnant Palestinian woman with a bullseye target on it that say one shot, two kills? You can buy those shirts there. They're proud that, you know, that's a thing. What the Israelis have done to the Palestinians is fucking reprehensible. And you're going to let these maniacs train our police force? Gee, what do you think will happen? Do you think they will treat the public like the way the IDF treats the Palestinians? Yeah, probably. Well, why? Why are we doing this? I think the answer is that they want the police to be hyper psychopathic. They want them to be radicalized and militarized. They want that. I think the people running the show here want the police to be a bunch of craven lunatics with itchy trigger fingers and a tendency to shoot first and ask questions later. I think they like that. I think there is a psychopathic mentality inside the United States government that actually wants that authoritarian force crackdown. They plan to roll that out. I mean, we're getting it now. If you think things are going to roll back to the way they were January of 2020, I hate to disappoint you. And I hate to use that term, the new normal, because it's so Orwellian and screwed up. But things are our version of reality has changed forever. You know, however you want to phrase it, the genie's out of the bottle with this police crackdown. Now, the people will protest and the people will be right to protest this. But it's not going to change anything. You see, because if it was going to change anything, it would have changed things with Eric Garner or Tamir Rice or some of these. I mean, I'm not saying that the people shouldn't be upset about George Floyd and the protests, because they should. I'm just saying, why George Floyd and not, you know, a dozen other people that have met similar fates when dealing with the police on video? I mean, there's plenty of people that have had interactions with the police that have been, police constantly conducting no-knock raids on the wrong house. They just can't seem to get the house right. Rolling in flashbang grenades in under the crib while a baby's sleeping. Blinding the baby. Family can't sue the police. They said, well, you shouldn't have been having your house raided. It was the wrong fucking house. You know, lax oversight. Some might even call it intentional lax oversight of the police. You know, one thing that has definitely changed over the last, 50 years or so is what a police officer looks like. You remember Andy Griffith's show, you know, wore a uniform, wore a nice hat, maybe a blue uniform and a blue hat. I think Andy Griffith wore like a tan uniform. He looked nice. He was friendly. He'd help you out. Everybody knew who he was. Hey, how are you? Yeah, I get it. I know it's a TV show, but still, that image of the police from back then, you know, driving down the street, waving to the community, help an old lady fix a tire, maybe. What seems to be the problem? Oh, it seems somebody stole my apple pie that was cooling on the windowsill. Oh, gee, that's a shame. I'll keep an eye out and see if I can find it. You know, that stuff. Now what do we have? Cops look like military. I wonder why that is. Well, I'll tell you why that is. It's because of the 1033 program that was put in place in 1997 by President Bill Clinton. And what this did was this authorized the recycling of military hardware from the military to the police force. And the only thing the police force had to pay for was the shipping and handling for it to get there. Now, you might ask, why do I need an MRAP in Omaha? The answer is because the MRAP is free. That's why. All you have to do is sign up for it. There are 8,000 law enforcement agencies that have signed up for it. They have been awarded $7.4 billion worth of property that they only had to pay the cost of shipping for. So I ask you, when you train like a soldier, look like a soldier, have the equipment of a soldier, at some point, aren't you going to act like a soldier too? And I would say that the mentality of a soldier walking the streets in Fallujah is not the sort of mentality that you want as a police officer walking the streets of Los Angeles. I think that if you go into these situations, you know, armed with machine guns, full all black uniforms, knee pads, elbow pads, helmets, face masks, goggles, flashbang canisters, APCs, driving them down the streets to serve a warrant. I mean, forgive us if we all get the feeling that we're being occupied by the military. It's designed that way. They just take the APCs back from Iraq. Sometimes they change the paint on them, make them, you know, all black or blue or something. Sometimes they don't. And we're militarized as of 2014. So keep in mind that the program started in 97. From 97 to 2014, they have some statistics on what was transferred. So we're not even taking into account the last 6 years of weapons that have been transferred. But as of 2014, 79,288 assault rifles were given to the police by the military. That's almost 80,000 assault rifles. Who's the enemy? Apparently we are. 205 grenade launchers. Why do the police need a fucking grenade launcher? Can anybody answer that question? Well, they're going to conduct a, you know, a raid. They want to launch tear gas up into the second floor through a window. Seriously? What are we doing here? 11,959 bayonets. You know, the knives that you attach to the end of your rifle so that you can gut somebody that gets close to you. How long before the 11,959 bayonets get put on the rifles of the cops that are out there during the protesting? 422 helicopters. I mean, frankly, if someone's given out free helicopters, I probably would sign up for one too. As well as 50 airplanes. They've transferred $124 million worth of night vision goggles to the police. You know, so the police can see in the dark when they're executing these no-knock raids. Of course, they can't see the right numbers on the front of the building as they're going in the wrong houses. But don't worry, they have night vision goggles like up the ass, you know. The 1033 program is part of the reason why things have gotten out of control. The militarization of the police needs to stop. It's a gigantic problem. And you run the risk of dividing the public when kids see that. I mean, you know, like little like boys, and they see that and they go, oh, that's cool. It looks kind of like an army guy, because kids, you know, little boys like army stuff. But when you get a little bit older, I think the general public sees police dressed like the military and they do not connect with that. That is a psychological trick to make you feel inferior to them. They are heavily armed, heavily equipment, you know, goggles and helmets and all of this stuff to make themselves look, frankly, make themselves look like robots. And I think a case can be made that a lot of cops are robots, but they want you to look like, you know, Halo, you know, just totally Boba Fett, you know, like jacked, like covered in armor, helmets, can't see their eyes. Something about that, something about not being able to see the eyes of the person that's pulling, you know, has a machine gun pointed at you. Something dehumanizing about that on both ends. You know, you're just one step away from putting on that stormtrooper helmet, you know. You really are. And then what? Then you're part of the empire. I'd say that the police force these days has been part of the empire now for a while. And so, of course, then the follow-up thought to this is, but not all cops are bad. And, you know, not all cops are bad. That is correct. But the fact that you have to always say that is a huge problem. Not all cops are artists either, you know? But look, I'm going to tell you what. There's enough cops that are bad that the philosophy of just a few bad apples is dog shit. Anyone saying there's just a few bad apples in the police force needs to check themselves. They need to get real about what's actually going on. Let me tell you what's a real problem inside the police force. Steroids. Don't shake your head and laugh. I'm not kidding. It's a real problem in the police force. They have a huge problem with steroids. And if you know the side effects of steroids, roid rage, short fuse, you know, the things that you need a cop to have. Power tripping. Short fused, steroided up, small dicked cops. Which, by the way, this is going to rub people some people the wrong way. But I don't give a shit because this is a fact and it needs to be talked about. They give IQ tests to the police, the incoming police, and they don't want you scoring too high on those, just so you know. There is an acceptable range of IQ. They want you to be at least, you know, of average IQ. But they don't want you to be of high IQ. They won't hire you because they know you won't do the job. They know that you'll see through it. And I know that there's a case to be made that high IQ has a disproportionate number of psychopaths. And that's true. And those high IQ psychopaths find their way into banking and politics. But the low IQ or average IQ psychopaths find their way, a lot of them, into policing. That's what the police want. This is not, and like I said, people are going to be upset about this. You can find the rule. You can find this. This went to, I think it was in Philadelphia. It went through the court system. The IQ requirements thing. This is a documented case. Went through the court system. That it came out that the police will not hire high IQ. It was a high IQ person that sued the police force because he wasn't let in. And the police had to admit that they don't hire high IQ people. So I'm not saying this is my opinion on it. I'm in agreement with it, but it's not, I didn't invent this opinion. This was something that came out in through the courts. So you've got this thin blue line. And I'll tell you what, man, my opinion on the thin blue line is they can take it, stick it up their ass. Okay. You're not helping anybody. I get it. You're looking out for your brothers. You guys go through some shit together. You got to look out for them. I understand that. But you've got to see the inherent problem with the thin blue line and the covering for each other and the nobody talks situation. You can't simultaneously be out there patrolling the streets looking to break up gangs and not recognize the fact that you yourself are part of a gang. If you behave like that, that the thin blue line code of ethics where we don't talk about each other, nobody gives each other up, you're no better than a gang. You're just getting paid for it. I have no respect for that. I don't think that that is the way the police force should be. I think that that is counterproductive. I think it hurts the overall impression of the police force by the people, you know, that recognize this. You think the black community doesn't know about the thin blue line, the hypocrisy of that? Of course they do. It's part of the reason why they're out there protesting. I am, for the record, I am for the protesting. I am against the riots. I don't know any reasonable person that would be in favor of the riots. I don't like that. I understand people are angry. But the reason for these protests, you know, this is not, it wasn't one thing. It wasn't one guy. Yeah, maybe George Floyd will be the symbol and they'll hold him out, you know, like they always do. The media gets a hold of it. They play somebody up to be this martyr. But it's not as if, you know, police brutality started with George Floyd. This has been going on for a long, long time. I lived in South Central Los Angeles in 1992 during the riots, during the Rodney King riots. I was at USC. I saw, like everybody else did, five white cops beating the shit out of a black man on the side of the road. And I was horrified. Clearly, those guys are going to go to prison for that. Clearly. And then when it didn't happen, things erupted. And I got out of there as fast as I could, by the way. But, you know, that feeling of it's never going to change. You know, we're never going to get justice. These people, these cops are going to get to beat the shit out of us with impunity. Nothing will ever happen to them. It's such a slap in the face. And to see the black community erupt, you know, I don't know if they knew this, but many of the people in the white community felt the same way. I mean, we didn't have the same experiences, don't get me wrong, but we were mortified too. We thought that was insane that they were not found guilty. And I see a lot of similarities. Rodney King was not necessarily a sympathetic victim. He was a huge dude. He was driving 100 miles an hour. You know, he had a history. He didn't deserve to be beaten like that. George Floyd, same situation. You know, he's got a past. Oh, he did pornos. Ooh, he's passing off $20 bills. You know, he had some legal problems, all horrible things. But once again, does he deserve to be choked out and killed? Of course not. And so once again, we have this hero, you know, that the media, you know, elevates, a flawed hero from the Black community, someone to rally around. But, you know, you kind of couldn't get totally on board with him because you're like, it's not as if they beat up some sweet old lady, you know, they kind of got a guy that had a history in both cases. And so you supported the movement, but you kind of knew that the guy at the center of it was flawed. And so there was some inherent lack of, you couldn't really fully embrace the person because you knew they had this past and it was kind of hard to justify that. But at the same time, you knew he didn't deserve what he got. You know, it's a very difficult situation, but let's not, you know, but what's changed? What's changed in almost 30 years since the Rodney King thing? Nothing, really. Still protesting the same thing. And now, as the whitest white person in the world, I'm probably not the best person to give advice to the Black community on what they need to do. But I do have a suggestion that I think might help. Take guys like Reverend Al Sharpton and Reverend Jesse Jackson and tell them to get the fuck out of your community and stay out. Those dudes have done nothing for the Black community. They've led marches. They've been leading marches for 40 years about police violence. And where are we right now? We're having riots for police violence. They have managed to march the Black community for 40 years into one gigantic circle that has gotten them nowhere, led them nowhere. Reverend Al Sharpton is an FBI informant. He was a rat back in the 80s. Look it up. He worked for the FBI. Reverend Jesse Jackson was involved with the CIA during the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. Check that out, too. Go figure out why Reverend Jesse Jackson refused to wear a tie that day. Dig into that. It'll blow your fucking mind. These two people are going to lead your movement? And you wonder why you've gotten nowhere? Why you're still having the same protests that you've had for 40 years? 50 years? Time for some new leaders. Let's take a quick break so that we can hear from the sponsors that make this show possible, like Delete Me. The tech giants make a fortune selling your personal information to all kinds of outlets for them to use as they please. Delete Me removes your personal information like name, address, age, phone number, email address, and photos of your home from leading data broker sites. Removing personal information from data broker websites reduces your online footprint and removes Google search results. These guys really understand opt-out and privacy policies, so you don't have to spend your time focusing on things like legal jargon. Delete Me has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, NPR, and CNET. And with over 20 million personal listings removed, Delete Me is the most trusted and proven privacy solution available, so check them out by using the link in the description to see just how they can take back your personal information. And Fiverr is an outstanding resource. If you need somebody to outsource some of your work to, or you just need specialized help with a project that you're working on, you need to check out Fiverr. They have a network of thousands of freelance experts in business, design, programming and tech, digital marketing, music and audio. video and animation, writing and translation, and so much more. Need someone to build out a website or help you grow your current business with a digital marketing campaign? You can find thousands of people ready to get to work on your project at a fixed price that you set at Fiverr. Your payment's only released to the freelancer once you're pleased and approve the work you've received. If you have questions, you can call Fiverr 24/7. Just click the link in the box in the description. Start putting this army of freelancers to work for you. And cash advance. We are living through a very strange time filled with an unbelievable amount of uncertainty. We don't know what the world's going to look like weeks from now, let alone months from now. If you find yourself in a financial emergency and in need of money right away, you at least have an option with cash advance. You can submit your request online and receive an answer in minutes so that you will know where you stand and what programs they have available for you. Their online service is entirely free and works to find potential lenders in their network. So just fill out the secure online form and see which option works best for you. Look, I hope you don't need this service, but if you do during this crazy time in our lives, at least you know that you have another option with cash advance. Click the link in the description box to see what they have to offer. And with all of these sponsors, your support for them directly impacts and supports the show. We certainly do appreciate that. Now let's get back to the show. Well, it's good to see that our friends at the media are silent about the social distancing now that everybody's out on the street. They kept us in our house for 3 months because they said we were all going to die if we got within less than 6 feet of one another. And now it's totally fine if we press up against each other and bleed all over the guy next to you. Or get tear gas in our eyes and are blowing snot all over the place. That's totally fine. Oh, we live in a fucking cartoon. The media is so disingenuous. I guess the cops decided that the best way to prove the people wrong is with more violence. Well, that's kind of a nice side effect. I don't know if people are listening to, if you listen to Jimmy Dore. I think Jimmy Dore dislikes the police more than anybody I know. Maybe Donald Jeffries is a little bit more, I don't know, they might be tied. But Jimmy Dore's rants on the police are pretty phenomenal. The NYPD has just been authorized to detain peaceful protesters without charges by New York City criminal court judge James Burke. Gee, what could possibly go wrong with that? So let's talk about Antifa. Let's talk about these Dungeons and Dragons playing, living in their mother's basement, LARPers for a second, that would fail the Al-Qaeda monkey bar test for terrorists, because these guys look like the last kids picked for the kickball team. A bunch of sloppy, purple-haired, multigendered LARPers running around pretending they're involved in a revolution. You better be very, very careful. Antifa, I don't mean be careful of Antifa. I think Antifa needs to be careful of the next phase of this situation, which is inevitable. And that is when the Antifa crew breaks into a store through the big plate glass window and starts causing chaos and comes up against the roof Koreans that draw down on them. And at some point, this is going to turn deadly. At some point, they are going to enter the wrong building and they are going to get mowed down by some people that have decided, if you come in my store, I'll kill you. And there will be the death of some blue-haired girl, 19-year-old girl wearing a black ski mask who thought it was going to be cute to go riot on the weekends with her new best friends that must be tough because they're all wearing black. This is going to turn... It's going to turn deadly for them at some point. It, you know, it's going to happen. It's bound to happen. They're going to hit somebody with a bike lock, and that buddy's friend is going to pull out a 357 and blow that person's head off in broad daylight on video, and it's going to be out there. And everything is going to get real serious real fast with them. Now, I'm no fan of the Antifa movement. I think that they are all a bunch of chicken shits, and I think that they are plain make-believe. I don't think that any of these people would last a day in Fallujah, walking down the street, you know, causing chaos, doing stuff like that. I think they need to go home to the suburbs and plug in their VR headset and go back to... you know, whatever they're into. Because things are about to change for them. With Trump labeling Antifa as a terrorist organization, this is a big step. This is not just a small little thing that should fly under the radar. And it should be concerning to everybody, frankly. Because why would you label them a terrorist organization? Well, if you're a terrorist organization, then according to the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, you can be held as an enemy combatant without charges indefinitely until the end of operations, which means the end of the war on terror. They can take the Antifa people and put them all on buses and then eventually airplanes, and fly them to Guantanamo Bay and put them in prison cells there and leave them there. Because they are enemy combatants. There's no distinction between them and somebody from the Middle East doing this. That's the point. That's why it's really dangerous and really scary. Now, you may be saying, well, I'm not a member of Antifa, so I don't have anything to worry about. Well, that's where you're wrong. And this is the part that gets really scary, because you see, they only have to say that they think that you're part of that organization, and then you are part of the organization. Then they can disappear you to some black site somewhere and hold you as a terrorist. Doesn't have to be Guantanamo Bay, but it can be someplace where you have no right to an attorney, where your family doesn't know where the fuck you are. Maybe you have controversial thoughts that you put on Twitter. Maybe you have something that says along the lines of, you know, those police got what they had coming to them. But yeah, maybe that's enough that they say, well, that sounds like the motto of Antifa. You must be part of that group. Where were you? We checked your cell phone records, and it pinged on a cell tower that was downtown, where there was rioting going on. But you're thinking, I was just there protesting. I wasn't doing any rioting. Oh. But your phone said you were there. You starting to understand how this can be used? You think the contact tracing had anything to do with the virus? Is it starting to make sense now? Are these pieces starting to fill in the puzzle? They are building the prison cell around us as we bicker about who's responsible for this or that. They're building the digital prison cell around us. If they want to get rid of dissenting voices, now all they have to do is say that they believe that you're a member of Antifa, and you're gone. Who knows what they can do with that? We haven't even seen the full extent of what the government can do after they've labeled you a terrorist. I mean, I would say being held without trial, charges, bail, access to a lawyer and in an undisclosed site is probably pretty bad. That's as, you know, maybe the next step is torturing you and one step above that is killing you. But short of that, that's a pretty bad place to be. This is the downside to Antifa being labeled a terrorist organization. I mean, everyone says, oh, that's good. You know, they're acting like terrorists. We should label them as such. Maybe then now we can do something. I hear you. But just remember, there is another side to this. This can be a catch-all designation to go after people that they deem to be dangerous to the state and whatever, you know, however they define that. Is it danger? I mean, yeah, if you're out there on the streets, you know, wearing all black, hitting people with bike locks, are you dangerous? Yeah, of course. But if you're somebody that's just somebody that organizes really well and you're organizing protests against peaceful protests against the police and you're making a lot of noise and you're starting to gain some momentum. All they have to do is say that you were a, you know, Antifa member. Undercover Antifa member, you know, really undercover. And they've got you. They have the excuse to pick you up. And not just put you in a holding cell or the drunk tank for 12 hours until the rioting calms down. I mean forever, as long as they want you. Then what do you think they'll do to you? You're looking at 200 years, buddy. You want to die in prison or you want to wear this wire? You're like, but I'm not Antifa. You better infiltrate that group. Get us some information or you're going to die in prison, son. But I was, you know, I didn't have anything to do with it. Or maybe you do have something to do with it. Maybe you're the lowest guy on the totem pole in Antifa and you get rolled up on by the police and they catch you and they flip you. Good luck with that. Now you get to go infiltrate those guys. I mean, I think there's, you know, we have to differentiate between protesting and the looting. And I think some people are just, you know, people are protesting. It's not a monolithic protest. It's not everybody is protesting for George Floyd. Some people are against police violence. Some people are just pissed off because the same police that killed George Floyd, not the same actual police, but the same concept of the police that were doing that are also the same police that just a couple weeks ago were arresting shop owners for opening up their nail salons or their tattoo parlors or their restaurants, that they're going in there and if people weren't social distancing on the beach, they were arresting them. You know, let's not forget that people are pissed off about that too. Let's not forget that the government told everyone to go in their homes for 3 months, destroying the economy, impacting people's ability to make money over a virus whose story they couldn't keep straight, who was going to kill, you know, 10 million people, but only, you know, killed 100,000. And that those numbers were fishy, you know, everyone was agreeing that they were fishy, maybe not attributed to the normal flu that swept through. People getting hit by cars, having their death classified as COVID-19. You know, people were, let's not forget, people were genuinely pissed off about that too. Pissed off about what the government and the media were doing, and then pissed off about the police's response enforcing that. And the hypocrisy of it all. Small businesses have to close. But want to go to Home Depot? Go for it, man. You can line up to get in Walmart, but don't you ever think about going to that family-run business 2 blocks away. Because the virus will kill you there. But hey, in Walmart, it's magically not there. I mean, listen, a case can be made that there are plenty of viruses in a normal Walmart on a normal day anyway. Frankly, you should probably wear a mask every time you go to Walmart, but that's another story. So there's genuine anger. The rioting, the protesting. Look, is there always going to be a percentage of people that are just, you know, excited about breaking stuff? Yes, there's always going to be that percentage. They're going to want to fight. They're going to want to break stuff. They're going to want to light things on fire. They're going to want to flip over cars. They're going to want to do all kinds of random violence because some people are just stupid or angry or uncontrollable or have no guidance or filled with testosterone or whatever, right? There's going to be that. That's a given. But let's not forget that there is a legitimate reason for a lot of people to be very angry. And it's not just one reason. There's a variety of things. The police will, I think from this point forward, be looked at by a large percentage of the population as the enemy. And you know what? They have nobody to blame but themselves for that. The way they behaved, the way they've treated people during the lockdowns is pretty reprehensible. The things that they do, the things that we've watched on video, the things that people have reported on, we see it. We remember it. You know, we haven't forgotten about that. You want to talk about looting? You want to talk about the people looting these stores? Shouldn't do it. I'm against it. I don't think you should do it. But what about civil asset forfeiture? What about the looting that the police have been doing from the people? What about that? Are we going to talk about that? Are we going to talk about the $5.4 billion worth of goods that are taken through civil asset forfeiture every year? That's 40% more than is stolen through burglaries by criminals every year. The police take 40% more stuff from the people than burglars take from the people. That's a fact. That's a fact. Civil asset forfeiture is a real thing. And what that is when you commit a crime, let's say, in your car. Let's say you commit a drive-by shooting in your car and you get arrested for that. You're going to jail for the drive-by shooting, but the police are impounding your car as an accessory. And then they take that car and they sell it at auction and they keep the money. That was civil asset forfeiture was developed during the war on drugs. You know, that really successful war on drugs that we had as a way to try and help the police force. And the theory went like this. You're a police department and you've busted this large cocaine trafficker called the CIA. No, I'm just kidding. You've busted this large cocaine trafficking operation and you've discovered, you've found 20 kilos of cocaine, $200,000 in cash, a bunch of Rolexes, a bunch of guns, a bunch of laptop computers, two Ferraris, a Bentley, you know, and a mansion. And the police can take all of those items because those items theoretically were purchased through the, you know, through this criminal enterprise, this drug cocaine trafficking empire that they just busted up. And so therefore, those items can be taken from the drug dealers, given to the cops, who then sell them through auction and use that money to help them fight this war on drugs. So it's taking from the drug dealers, giving to the cops, and making the drug dealers weaker, the cops stronger, so that they can have more, of a financial capacity to continue this war on drugs. That's the theory behind it. It's all bullshit, of course. It's all bullshit. But that's the theory. But that's morphed into cops pulling cars over, saying, you know, looking in the back seat, seeing something of value and saying, you know, we got a report of something like that was stolen. We're going to confiscate that. And, you know, the driver of the car is like, what are you talking about? You know, you can't just take my stuff. And the answer to that is that actually they can take your stuff because they just write it up that this was this, you know, you have $9,000 in your car. police search your car and find $9,000. They say, what is this? You say, I was going to buy a used car this afternoon. They say, looks like you're involved in a criminal activity. This is drug money. We're going to have our drug dog come and sniff it. Dog sniffs it, alerts, false alerts, whatever. They say, well, there's cocaine on this money. It's obviously been, you're obviously a drug dealer. We're taking this money. Now you have to fight that, but you don't get to fight that. It's not you versus the police. It's your money versus the police. It's your inanimate object versus the police. You have to go through the court system with that. Good luck to you. You'll never get that money back. You probably don't have the financial resources to even get lawyers involved in all that, and might not even be worth it. So the cops have been looting the public for a long, long time. I don't know that everyone that is rioting or protesting is even aware of the civil asset forfeiture, but some people are. And it's a huge problem. So we've got several agendas going. We've got, people that remember the civil asset forfeiture have problems with the police, and they probably won't ever forget that, especially if they've had their materials taken. But I doubt that that's even really a main reason why anybody's protesting. We've got Black Lives Matter protesting. We got people that are out there for End the Lockout. We've got the white privilege crowd, which is a weird bunch of kneeling down, kissing black people's boots type of stuff going on that I just don't really know what to say about that. You got the Antifa crowds out there, the George Floyd protesting people. You've got the patriot type guys, the white dudes that are all strapped with, guns, and they're not shooting anybody. They're just out there as support. We've got a lot. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of overlapping anger. And it's not to say that people don't fit in multiple categories. They could be marching for actual Black Lives Matter. And then there's these white kids that think that they're going to be part of Black Lives Matter and that they're going to say, Black Lives Matter. And then someone else says, actually, all lives matter. And then they say, you're a Nazi and you're a fascist. Of course, they don't know what these terms mean, but then they're just going to call people these things. So it's a fascinating time to be watching this, isn't it? I mean, it's chaos and there's a lot of people getting hurt and destruction and all these things are bad, but it's a time in our lives that we'll never forget. I'll tell you that much. It's just weird to me that the media who I, if you've been listening to the show or seen any, read my books or watched any of my interviews, it's pretty obvious to, I have zero respect for the mainstream media. I mean, I find them to be the enemy of humanity, but it is fascinating to me that they come out, they actually come out and say that the protesting against the racism is fine, but the protesting against the lockdown is deadly. And it is this hypocrisy that is, it's par for the course, really. Let's just be honest. I mean, we should expect it. It's not like I'm surprised that they're doing this, but it's just fascinating. Religious services are still not permitted. You can't open your store. You can loot the store. That's fine. But don't even think of opening it. What are you, a criminal? How dare you? How are all these people going to social distance in your store? I mean, can we just admit that this is all bullshit? Right? Can we get past this? Can we just confess that, some of us, fell for it a little longer than others and whatnot, but can we just admit that the social distancing stuff is all a bunch of garbage and that the wearing masks is not about the virus. It's about control, and that these maniacs like Fauci and Gates are not working towards humanity's best. Can we just admit that? Because I think we need to move on to other things. We need to, get a consensus on this. The media wants a race riot. to distract from the fact that they were wrong about the coronavirus thing and that the people were figuring it out. The media loves this stuff. They don't kid yourself. When they do the things where they say, oh, we're going to have all these people come in, get all these celebrities together to, you know, to stand up and fight hate and, you know, fight the, you know, and we have to stand up. And the media loves this. The media does not want any of this stuff to go away. Don't kid yourself for a second. They would prefer if there was a school shooting every week. Frankly, I'm waiting for the next false flag. I hate to be such a pessimist about it, but I've seen enough, you know, over the last 10 years to know when there's a setup for something like this. And I, you know, when's it coming? When's the false flag coming? I mean, maybe a case can be made that the false flag was the George Floyd death. I don't know. But if the media was really interested in doing their job, they'd be looking and digging into the connection of why the guy who killed George Floyd used to work with him. You know, that's a connection that I would be making. The mainstream media, why don't you turn your focus onto why the cops are setting their sights on journalists? Why there's plenty of videos of the cops beating the shit out of journalists and rioters beating up journalists. Where's CNN to stand up for a bunch of journalists? Oh, I know where CNN is. They're where they always are, on their knees for the establishment. Bunch of cowards. And by the way, CNN has decided that right now is the correct time to try to rehab George W. Bush's image. Good luck with that, you bunch of maniacs. Oh, Lord. We're living in an interesting time. Everybody, please be safe out there. Hopefully you like the show. If you do, share it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Check it out. I got a new book coming out pretty soon with Jeff Berwick. I'll have him on. And we'll discuss it all. And good Lord, we didn't know that our timing was going to be so great. It's called The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire. It'll be out pretty soon. I'll fill you guys in on it as it gets closer to launch. Thanks, everybody. Take care.